This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Let's do some Cowboys news here. What do you think about the coaching question that was kicked around in the morning paper? General at your service, there's Broaddus, the former Cowboys scout, NFL executive, number one influencer on Cowboys social media. Follow him on Twitter, at Brian Broaddus. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control. You have Eric Chiafalo. Wolchuk is out. He's sick, but he has said he'll be back tomorrow for Cowboys postgame show duties. Maybe even a little G-Bag Nation with us.
We got a busy day tomorrow. Like a 12-hour day.
He's not missing Meatball Sub Thursday. All right, let's just be honest about that.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a game day. He's going to be dialed.
He was well under the weather yesterday.
He did a great job of battling through. We got Virginia Tech in Miami tonight, college football on TV.
Oh, look at that. Are they still doing the turnover chain?
I think that's Friday night.
Oh, it's Friday. What am I saying? I keep thinking we're Thursday night right now. We're only Wednesday, right?
That would be what Dawson's football plan is if he's running the show. We'd have a Wednesday night freaking headliner two guys going toe to toe tonight. That's what we'd have.
Absolutely.
This Cowboy game thing has thrown me off then.
Okay,
my bad. Friday night, yeah. Virginia, I was asking if there was any football tonight in Virginia Tech, Miami, Friday night. Sorry. Back to you, Dawson.
Apology accepted.
Thanks for the chance to reset that, though, Chief. I don't know what the NFL is waiting for. You know, there's plenty of nights of the week where we don't have football. I think we would all like it. You know, we're trying to get by with, like, MAC conference football.
Yeah.
You know?
MAC-tion.
Every year, you line up, and you're playing either on 4 days rest or 8 days rest or sometimes 2 weeks rest. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you just float that a little bit more? Get the schedule makers on here, you know? And we can figure out a way to have NFL football, you know, for 4 months out of the year, almost every single night. 903 asks, Gavin, who the bleep is sitting in Eric's seat? Y'all quit messing with men. That's his brother without a hat, right? That's from Tim in Carthage. And that's the real deal right there, Eric Chiafalo.
Sorry about that, Pappy. That's me, man.
Yeah. If you'd like to reach out to us, if you have any questions or thoughts or concerns for the program, 877-881-1053. The headline in the morning news that they had their roundtable talking about here is... could the Cowboys cut Mike McCarthy loose midseason? Is that on the table? And I guess I see that developing here over the next couple, 2-3 weeks. I think when you look at the schedule, especially if you lose to the Giants here, it's only going to get worse. This will be confirmation that you're bad. So, yeah, if they lose tomorrow night, I think that easily could happen because of the negative momentum. But most times when the Cowboys are going this bad, that's right around the time that they remind you, oh, we're not this bad. They're never as good as what they look like. It's rare that they're as bad as what they look like. So maybe this is a bounce back game against a Giants team that they have been absolutely abusing for the better part of a decade. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm with you. This is going to be one of those. It's going to get so crazy loud if they find a way to botch it. And I'm struggling in my mind to go like, are we just witnessing a really, really bad football team? Like, is this just a bottom five in the league football team, what we have here with the Cowboys? Or do I need to respect to some extent the fact that the Saints, K came out as hot as anybody with the new offense catching you off guard. And then what the Ravens have is different than most teams are going to present to you. So, and then the Giants just get the win. You don't want to overreact to that ridiculous Browns team. But that's the only good thing you've seen your team do. So right. I don't know. This is a must win tomorrow night. I mean, we had the Truth Serum game versus the Saints.
Yeah.
Came up short on that one in a huge way. It was a prove it game, according to Micah, versus the Ravens. Didn't prove squat other than the fact that you suck. Yeah. And then now it's okay. It's must win time in September.
I think that Saints game might be even more of a truth serum than we could possibly imagine if they actually aren't that good. You know, the Monday after the Saints game, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a playoff team. This is a team scratching into contender status. Are they going to get to San Francisco's level? I'm not sure. But I thought this was one of those teams ascending to a place, you know, where in that 2-3-4 playoff seeding type of deal where you're like, yeah, if they get some breaks, maybe they find themselves in an NFC title game. Maybe if they're just barely still a borderline playoff game, that would be a shocking truth to be told.
If you go out there and lose tomorrow night on a nationally televised game. Well, I guess nationally televised, right? Amazon, that's nationally televised,
yeah.
Right?
Well, it's a standalone prime. It's a primetime game.
Primetime game.
And those are the games that we, as just a country, react to and really overreact to.
Yeah.
Just good or bad.
You lose that game tomorrow night, that is going to be a very uncomfortable flight home for a lot of people. And
oh.
Jerry won't fly with the team. He'll fly in his own plane. And him and Will and Steve and all those guys will get together on that plane and talk about what they need to do or how they need to proceed. Or Jerry, like, we give him a vote of confidence, that kind of thing. But you go out there and lose that game tomorrow night, there could be some serious life-changing things going on.
I mean, I'd be honest with you, though. I think even just a close win, a close Cowboys win where they don't look like the same team clobbered the Giants over the last forever, it feels like. If you just win by a Brandon Aubrey field goal at the end of the game, that's still going to be like, ugh.
They'll tell you that it's hard to win in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, they'll spin it. They'll be 2-2.
Yeah,
you know?
They'll bet, well, you know, it was a gutsy performance. The Giants are playing better. You know, I mean, hey, we had to deal with the receiver, the running game. We kind of held the running game in check. We won the game. Hard to win in the NFL. That's the kind of things that will come out of that game. But if you lose tomorrow night and then all of a sudden Pittsburgh on the horizon,
yeah,
Lions on the horizon, and then Niners. the bye on the horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1-6 would be.
I just believe that he's not going to change. He wouldn't change his coach unless, like, he's proven that the coach completely loses the team.
But the bye week after Niners would be perfect, especially if the Niners get healthy and trounce you. If it's 1-6, I think it would happen at 2-5.
Is the bye before the Niners game or after?
It's after the Niners game. No, it's before the Niners game.
Yeah.
Before the
Niners Lions game. And then bye and then Niners.
Right.
So you would be 1-5?
Yeah, 1-5.
Yeah, and if it's the effort, how bad are these games? You know, how much are you getting blown out still in these losses? I know Mike McCarthy is the current favorite right now to be the next NFL head coach fired. Then it's Doug Peterson. That seems like a disaster there with the Jaguars. But the only thing, like, when we go back to the Wade year where they started to kind of quit on him, and that's when he got let go.
That was the Green Bay game on the Sunday night. Yeah,
you'd have to see something like that, I think. But you'd also, like, the one question I have where you had Jason Garrett as sort of that next guy's coach in waiting a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't really have that guy here. You know? Like, yeah, you could give it over to Fossil, the special teams guy, or Zimmer, or Schottenheimer, or Al Harris. But I don't know that you have that next guy. Like, at that time with Wade, you're going, well, we might have, like, we want to get a look at Jason Garrett. I don't know if there's anybody on the staff they really care to get a look at like that.
No. I think Al Harris would be one that would be a very popular decision, I think, inside there. I think Fossil would be an interim coach. But, like, the Bill Belichick thing, I think, is dang near a slam dunk. The most recent betting odds at Bet Online, who will Belichick coach week one of 2025? The Cowboys have 1-1 odds for this, followed by the Jags and Eagles and then Giants at 6-1, 6-1, and 8-1. To that point, I think with no clear candidate here in house, Brian, unless you're going to tell me about something we're not thinking of, I think Belichick would have to be the odds-on favorite. You know,
you did a nice talk about comfort.
Yeah.
Belichick is not comfortable to anybody in a building. He's not. And unless he goes in there and tells, unless he and Steven and Will get some type of assurance that, hey, I'll, you know.
Don't you think he'd be willing to take what you're offering instead of demands?
Oh,
I think the
Cowboys would be an ideal thing for him. I'm just saying the front office doesn't change. So those guys, they've kind of got this thing where Belichick is not going to sit there and just subscribe to your, oh, let's draft and develop things. He's going to talk about, well, can we add this guy? Can we add we can't. Can't afford this. Can't do this. Can't do that. You know, Bill's going to say, well, wait a minute. You tell me it's 24/7. You know, there's not, what kind of team building is just go out and sign your own guys. You know, I don't think he's going to agree to that at all.
Well, okay, so I'm looking at these teams here with the odds for Belichick. Cowboys do. They are 1-1, like you said. They're the favorite to be,
Giants'
team.
Yeah, I think the Giants would be a possibility here, but there would have to be a lot of fence mending there. I think the Tisch family and Belichick, if I've got this right, there's some stuff going on there.
That might be why at least BetOnline has the Eagles and Jags with better odds of landing him because of that history there.
And then you get to the Bears. I mean, honestly, just looking at it, if you're Belichick and you have your choice between Cowboys, Jags, Eagles, Giants, or Bears,
I think I'd want to go to the Bears because there I might have a chance of talking them into full autonomy. You know, I might be the guy that gets to do everything there. I know I'm not going to be able to in Philadelphia. The other option is Jacksonville that appears to be gaining momentum. And I don't think that would be a bad idea either because of the status of the owner. The owner's just like an energy billionaire, right? He doesn't fancy himself a football guy. There's not people in position there that are going to feel boxed out if you come in and start. You know, that's from the Bill perspective anyway. Brian, what do you think?
My gut feeling would be the Cowboys job. I mean, I keep saying that it won't. The one job I think that he would like, I think he'd like to be on the stage. But I wonder, like I say, the media here not overly tough. I mean, they'll fight, you know, for things and the questions and stuff. But
they'll get a little dramatic on you from time to time.
Yeah, they get a little dramatic. But I don't, you know, this might be something that he would be very comfortable dealing with. But I saw Parcells.
But the national scrutiny is through the roof with this team.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think to me there, he looks at this job as, you know, he keeps saying the you know, he really likes Jerry. He really, really likes Jerry. And maybe this is his way of kind of helping Jerry if he were to take this job.
Hmm. Does Jerry get enough credit if they win with Bill Belichick? Or is it Bill Belichick came to the Cowboys and saved him after 30-plus years of drought?
I don't know
that's Jerry signing up for that.
I never believed that Bill Parcells would ever have come here. I would have never believed that. So I think really that all bets are off, that you could, you know.
Sometimes Jerry's in a different mood.
Sometimes Jerry's in the mood of, we've got to do something different. And if I go out and get this guy, you know, we're having problems on defense. We're not stopping anybody. I think a lot of it has to do, though, with Belichick and, like, who he reaches out to as his OC. Is it McDaniels? Is it somebody else? I mean, are you going to get his son from the University of Washington as your defensive coordinator?
Probably.
See, that's – you got to be ready for all
this. Or offensive coordinator. You know, you never really know.
Yeah, but I just wonder – to me, it would be very, very important, like, who's your staff going to be?
Yeah, you definitely don't want to leave him in charge of that or drafting.
Well, I'm sure he can pick his staff, but I'm not interested in every one of those Joe Judges and people like that. I'm not interested.
Well, he might have at one point been able to pick a staff, but at some point in New England, like, his friendships and who he wanted to get the job was more important than the resume or any sort of proof that you could get the job done. ESPN simulator giving the Cowboys only a 58% chance of winning tomorrow, but they are the favorite. I don't know if computers have caught up to how crappy the Cowboys have suddenly become. You know, computers will take what has happened over a large sample size and say, well, what happened the last 2 weeks isn't, you know, that important. But I think with how we see teams go from being pretty good to suddenly bad, especially when a couple of key veterans go, leadership, Leighton Vander Esch, Tyron Smith, a starter in Biotis. You know, I just think that it's very, very possible this team's significantly worse than the, because Vegas uses supercomputers, right? They simulate things thousands and thousands of times. Cowboys have allowed 89 points this season. The Giants have scored just 45. This might be the Belichick Bowl. Like, whoever looks worst here is most surely going to, you know, fire their head coach and be looking to maybe touch base sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting with Belichick and just like the quarterback situations too. I think a lot of it would just be like you'd need to get the Belichick truth serum on what he feels about all those teams' quarterback situations. Dak, I mean, these guys that are paid, we know he's spoken like glowingly about Dak over the years.
He has.
You know, but
yeah.
Dak's been paid now big time. Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence has now been paid. Do you even like these guys? He hasn't even talked that glowingly about Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And seeing some of the clips from him and all the different analysis that he's giving right now on a bunch of different mediums. So I think that would be super interesting. You wonder if the being out on Daniel Jones and just give me the chance to pick my own quarterback with the Giants, with that opportunity. I don't know. But the quarterback situation obviously is as much a part of it as the ownership and the front office structure and all that kind of stuff. So that would be interesting to sit down with him and get his thoughts on this guy's paid, this guy's on a rookie deal, which quarterback situation do you want to put yourself in?
Does his ego even acknowledge how important like Brady's greatness was in this whole thing, right? Does he, because he wanted to get rid of Tom well before Tom was gone. You know, that was a big item of contention. Does he recognize that Tom playing for two-thirds of market value and being two-thirds better than anybody else in the league is one of the main reasons that he wanted? Or does he think, you know, I can roll my program through, we'll find players, we'll scout it up and get an advantage? I don't know, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to think the, like, he's been eating a ton of humble pie over the last few years, seeing what Brady did without him, and then no teams actually wanting him to be their head coach. If he hasn't removed some ego, which we know he's capable of, again, he's hiring defensive coordinators and special teams coordinators to be his OC because he's like, I can do whatever I want. I'll play this on Hall of Fame mode. Oh, I'm just upset at my corner, so I'll sit him in a Super Bowl and I'll just let Alshon Jeffrey just dunk on me all game. I'll let Nick Foles win a Super Bowl because I'm going to let my ego get in the way. So this is a guy who's very capable of that.
Yeah.
But if he hasn't lost some, if he hasn't been humbled to some extent now, then it ain't ever going to happen.
Yeah, those are great points. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And coming up next, I believe, Chief, we have a sports hodgepodge in store, right?
Yeah, we sure do, man. And we have quite the sports controversy. Is this person lying? The evidence is a bit damning. We'll provide that. Plus, the incompetent White Sox strike again next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Here in the nation.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Let's have a sports hodgepodge here. You have Cowboys crosstalk with Bobby Belt coming up at 7 o'clock here, and then Rangers baseball. They'll be in Oakland. Final game of Oakland Coliseum's history tomorrow at 2:37 here. Kamar Rocker going to be on the hill. A sold-out Oakland Coliseum. It's actually going to be on KRLD-AM, my bad. That's on 1080 AM tomorrow because we'll have Cowboys pregame for you at 4 o'clock. But I did want to make sure they're talking about that potentially being a newsworthy event for several reasons. It's impossible to guess how the Oakland sports fan is going to react to that. At the very least, they're going to be disassembling the stadium in the middle of the game, trying to take home, you know, pieces of the field, pieces of the bleachers or the seats or whatever it might be. Segments brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Here's the chief.
Okay, so welcome to the hodgepodge. Couple of things to address here. The first thing, we'll get to the sports controversy here in a second. We have the sound and the evidence is damning, but we'll see. Maybe this guy's telling the truth. We do need to mention that the Chicago White Sox, congratulations, couldn't go ahead and make the ultimate history with the 122 losses. Just going to give you the 121.
That's the max they could do now.
That was the night, like last night, they had the chance to make history for the worst MLB record of all time. And somebody actually, believe it or not, decided it was a good night to do the Jumbotron ballpark proposal.
Ooh.
And that's just surprising because of the nature, I don't know how romantic that really is. Taking your girl to a White Sox game after they've been historically bad, as bad a baseball product as we've seen in hundreds of years.
It's not a good omen for your marriage.
And you're doing it there. That's pretty surprising to me. They actually had fans in the building last night because they were hoping to witness history for being, of course, the crappiest team of all time. So all season long, I mean, when the Rangers went there, we were joking, there's literally single-digit number of people you can see in the stands. Nobody showing up to these games. But last night, with the chance to make history, of course, the people showed out and showed up. White Sox fans wanted to see history get made, and the White Sox, as incompetent as they are, couldn't even give the fans what they wanted last night because the White Sox go ahead and end up getting a meaningless win.
That's horrible, you know, and speaking of horrible, probably, you know, the most losery of sports fan, I feel like, is somebody that wants to propose during such a horrible sports season.
Yeah.
You love the team so much that it doesn't even bother you that they're in the throes of such a disastrous season. You just love the baseball team so much.
120 losses on the year. That is just as bad as it gets. And the fact that their fans show up, it's like, all right, we're actually going to show up because we want to watch you lose tonight. Let's make history together as a city, as a fan base, as an organization. And, of course, they end up having a comeback victory in the bottom of the eighth.
My goodness.
I mean, the White Sox continue to impress. Okay, now we go to the sports controversy, which is actually in the world of darts, believe it or not.
Okay.
Not the most mainstream of sports, but this is certainly...
Top drinking sport? Is it top 10?
Ooh, absolutely. Broadus, what do you think? I mean...
They're at bars.
Yeah, they're at bars, so let's be real about that, I think.
Pool and darts, automatic top 10, maybe top 5. Bowling, golf.
Yeah. Do you really want to drink playing darts?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
boring.
Of course I do.
But I mean, if you want to be good at it, you want to be like kind of stumbling around and
you stick your tongue out a little bit to the side of your mouth when you want to get good.
case by case.
Close like, one eye.
Yeah. Like if you're good, I mean, like I couldn't imagine throwing darts and being drunk.
That's the only way
I've
throwing darts.
Or playing pool. Like I couldn't, you know.
Yeah, but you don't mind because you're kind of tipsy. The best dart player I've ever known, a man that I believe lives in Midlothian. Non-drinker.
And Ted Lasso was the best dart player ever.
Yeah, was he?
Ted Lasso.
I'd take my guy Matt Peterson.
You go Peters?
Yeah.
Peters over Ted Lasso. I think that'd be...
Ted Lasso, if you remember the episode where...
Yeah, he wins something.
Yeah.
A nice little bet or a deal.
Yeah. The former owner of the team.
The husband.
He has to stay away. If he wins.
Yes, I remember now.
And he forgets to ask Ted. He goes, well, Ted, have you ever played darts before? Well, yes, I have. Every day, every Sunday. When I was 14 years old. You know? Yeah. That was a good show.
I do think darts is a, like, I'd be more surprised to see a guy like Tiger busting out a coldie in the middle of a tour event than I would be surprised a dart dude in the middle of his match, you know, cracking open one.
Yeah, it makes it more fun.
Yeah, well, this guy, James Wade.
How about bowling as a drunk event?
Yes, definitely.
Probably better.
Bowling, because it doesn't matter if you're terrible at bowling. You can get drunk, and it looks even funnier when you're really bad at it.
And Don Carter, bowler, first million-dollar athlete.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he got his from, what was that, Budweiser or something?
He was, yeah, you're
That's
right.
That's pretty legit.
Yeah. I think the Bowling Hall of Fame one time, it's in Dallas, by the way.
Huh.
The Bowling Hall of Fame is here. I think at one time it was in St. Louis, Missouri, and that's why I think you got your Budweiser ties.
So. There's the useless information today brought to you by Brian Broaddus.
We are the homes of Hall of Fame.
Well, I wonder why they moved the Hall of Fame from St. Louis to DFW.
I have no idea.
Like, it's crazy to consider. Like, can you imagine if they just uprooted Canton, Ohio, NFL Hall of Fame, and just took it to a completely different city?
They moved the College Football Hall of Fame from Indianapolis to Atlanta.
No, probably needed a new building, and the original host didn't appreciate it.
Let's see,
you know, didn't want to put up the
Hall of Fame,
put up the real estate.
So the controversy starts here in the world of professional dart playing. James Wade, professional dart thrower, says, "I feel I must address a situation before it starts to get out of hand."
Six Flags Drive.
Following my run to the semifinals of the PC 22 today. Footage has emerged, and the footage hadn't come out yet. So he was trying to control the narrative, get
trying
ahead
to get ahead
of it. Yeah.
You're about to see something. Yeah, yeah.
Or here. He says, footage has emerged of me doing what appears to be a quote-unquote shart at the end of one of my matches. It was actually the Velcro on my new trainers. Okay, so that's his alibi, is the Velcro on his new trainers. And he says, I now consider this matter put to bed as I don't wish to talk about it again. Well, unfortunately, now you've called some attention to it. The video comes out.
Ooh.
And so
accompanying audio?
Live Darts, the Live Darts official Twitter account tweeted out the video, the evidence.
Of a dart shart, I believe.
Of a, yes, a dart shart fart gate of sorts, the first of its kind, and we're here to witness it. So James Wade trying to get ahead of it, spin the narrative, but the evidence is right here. He's calling Velcro new trainers, all right? You guys tell me.
Bro.
What?
I ain't no Velcro. That's not
fun. That is the wettest fart I've ever heard.
Come on, fam. Those are cheeks clapping, fam.
My God, yeah. My.
That's a cheek clap.
Velcro? Okay.
Who wears Velcro trainers? What is this, 1986?
Yeah.
Remember guys, the Zips? Shart in their pants wear Velcro trainers.
He gave it all he had on that throw.
Yeah, he put his back into it.
Those are my Velcro trainers. Okay.
Gosh.
Quality fart.
It's not me, it's the shoes.
I don't that's the kind of fart I don't think you want to distance yourself from. That's
no,
kind
you want
of
to own
that's
that.
Like a yeah. that's a yeah, you might want alpha to, man's that's an alpha man's flatulence.
100% very confident guy, gets his fiber. Might have had some rotten eggs. But no doubt that's one you want to own.
In-game nerves, perhaps. I mean, that's one you feel like you probably have to like grab a hold of something before. I mean, that was crazy. Yeah. Now the lack of awareness, like you're around hot mics, you're yes. in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
And you're wearing a mic, maybe.
Perhaps. That's the, yeah. It sounds like he is.
That's yeah. the thing with the shart though. You think you're just letting out a little, you know, a little silent, you know, and then things get crazy.
That's why you got to check real quick.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's real hot down there. I'm not going to do that.
No, seriously. I think he went to the men's room in his pants.
Yes. I was going to say, you might want to distance from your boxer briefs at that point.
That was.
Maybe not the audio.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounded.
That's your finest moment on camera.
That was probably more substantive than just a run. That's a full
Come on,
pleasure.
Bro.
maybe this was like. Maybe this was in the heat of competition, alpha male sort of like mental warfare, trying to get in your opponent's head a little bit.
I could see that.
You know, but he's not owning it. So it's hard to, if he would wrap his arms around this and lean into it a little bit and maybe say like, yeah, we all have our own sort of gamesmanship.
It's not like he's had a few pints.
Yeah,
sure. Had a few pints with that one.
John Daly would never. He'll stand on it. Yeah, I farted. So what?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
You want a piece of this?
So what? So what?
Guy's one of the best dart throwers in the game. And
me a light.
You got to put up with noxious gas at the same time. You know, I'm intimidated right now.
I would be, yes. If that is to try and get in your opponent's head, I think it's working.
I mean, playing darts, you already got to deal with secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, I feel that's standard.
Yeah, just smoke out your opponent there. I don't know. That's pretty damning. I guess, G-Bag Nation, you make the call. We're all calling BS on that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Literally. Pretty crappy story. Pretty,
yeah.
Matter which way you.
Now, I did find out we have one of our old criminal friends from this past year. Remember Sam Bankman-Fried?
Yeah,
the crypto guy?
Sharing a facility with a guy.
Yeah, looks like he is in the same area locked up as Diddy is right now.
Yeah.
So they have a couple of like big name dudes in there. They're like sort of isolated. There's like apparently 19 or 20 dudes that are in this like off area from the general population.
Yeah. High but security.
It's communal. Yeah. So Sam Bankman-Fried and Diddy are sharing quarters.
Have a lot in common. You know, one screwed over his customers, the other screwed over his employees. Sometimes literally.
Diddy's not eating food out of fear of being poisoned.
Okay, yes.
So I don't know how long you can really go that way.
Not long.
Before you have to start eating something.
Not long.
I think Buddha went 2 years. You know, maybe a kernel of rice a day, some water. I think he went 2 years.
Yeah. But he was drinking enough water. See, I wonder if Diddy's scared of the water.
I would be scared of everything. You know, I wouldn't want to be alone. I'd want to be strongly on the buddy system. Sort of the lights went out and I heard shoes coming down the hallway. I'd be like, this is it. You know, I mean, the Epstein thing, like how he went.
Yeah.
These things are just really unbelievable.
Yeah. He got some powerful people allegedly on tape. So you don't know how they can tap out to you, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I just hope he makes it and we get to court and there's some sort of discovery and some sort of testimony on the record. Hopefully we can go beyond what this story is and, you know, unravel the bigger picture that they say is alive in Hollywood and the music industry where, you know, they're, you know, saying maybe that this is how he was brought into the game and he was just doing it to the next people down the line. Like you blackmail them through evidence or you make them do things in order to get the deal. You
know? Clive Davis and Andre Harrell taught him the game.
Yeah.
He's just stepping into it.
Yeah, like this is the only way you can be a famous music star is if we do these things together and you sign this deal. And you know, if that's true, I would hopefully we can get to the bottom.
I don't think it'll ever see the trial. Like as much as I would want to see a trial, I don't think it'd ever see a trial. Those charges on him are heavy. If you fight those and miss, you're going for a long time, 30 years. Mm. So if you take a plea, you might get 8 maybe. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? 10, something like that, where you can come back and see your kids again. 30, that might be it for you, bro.
It's just crazy when you talk about how widespread this could be that we would have such a code of silence and not have, you know, anybody be able to blow the whistle effectively on it. But I mean, the pattern of abuse and behavior is similar to Harvey Weinstein, right? Like I'm a person in power in the entertainment industry and wielding that power for sexual deviance, you know?
Yeah.
It's just horrifying.
It really is, man. It really is. Seeing how this all plays out with the amount of powerful people with a ton of money and whatnot that are trying to keep all of this evidence from ever seeing the light of day.
Yeah.
I mean, that he better have a bunch of security around him.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, even people out there who, you know details or are trying to report details, you go down these rabbit holes and you're like, this person mysteriously died being thrown off their balcony at their apartment. And it's like, holy crap, you know, do I even want to be talking about this on the radio?
Mm-mm.
Like, is this something that, you know, you could realistically expose without putting your life into serious danger? It definitely brings up a lot of those topics that are just underneath the surface everywhere you turn on the internet. Thank you, Chief.
And Corey Key is trying to tell us.
Say what now?
The two Corys?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, they try to tell us that Hollywood is incestuous, it's nasty, and they are touching the kids, and nobody listened to them.
Yep.
Nobody listened to the Corys.
You're right about that. All righty, when we come back, it's time to put a bow on this show and get you set for Cowboys Crosstalk with Bobby Belt, which is coming up at 7 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Cowboys Crosstalk is coming up here at 7 o'clock with your man, Bobby Belt. Maybe a little more context on why Adrian Wojnarowski left the beat as the premier insider. To become the GM at his alma mater. Where was that? St. Bonnie's? St. Bonaventure's?
St. Bonaventure.
Story in the morning news about it today. For ACC teams, and I don't know, St. Bonaventure's is an ACC, but adding an NFL-like front office is the new norm for transfer portal recruiting. So, you know, I don't know if he can get the kind of money that he was getting from ESPN, but maybe it's close enough because colleges are now having to turn to, you know, hiring big budget staffs just to keep up with the recruiting and help their coaches, because it's much more now about scouting who's already out there and building relationships while the season is going on, which is much more akin to what like a pro sports front office would be doing.
If he has the relationships that we believe he has with agents,
yeah,
and a lot of those agents are on a lot of those kids already because they're one and dones and stuff like that. You know, they could some of those agents could steer guys his way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think having a guy that has relationships with agents and players, front office guys like he does, that's a big get right there for St. Bonaventure.
Brian's got this new beautiful Sure podcast mic here delivered. I think you can see this featured in an upcoming podcast real soon there, right? Love of the Star with Bobby Belt.
Yeah, for sure.
Three times a week, right?
Yeah, with three times a week. So, yeah, I'm excited about this because everybody complains that my sound's not good enough, but I just kind of thought it was an old man thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that I'm not technology guy. So maybe this will help. I think so. I think I can adjust the sound on this thing. I think I can, the volume on it and things. So
looks good.
It's like a smart mic.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah. I got one for Studio G back at the house.
Where does this thing go? Where does this part go?
You got to plug goes
into
that
into the back of it. That's called an XLR cord, Mr. 15-year radio vet. That goes into the back.
In the back.
Take the female side and put it up
this,
there.
And where does this go?
That goes into
that would
wall.
Go into a board, but you might not want to use that cord because you might need the cord that plugs directly into a computer, right? And that XLR is not going to go directly into a computer.
Okay, I'm in trouble then right now then, right?
I think there's a USB-C plug-in back there. Isn't there?
Kind of check it out, Ben.
You just plug it in there.
Oh yeah, you're right down there in the USB deal, and there should have been a cord in the box that goes into that, and then we'll go directly into your computer. Yeah,
all right,
be good to go. Here.
I appreciate it, Dawson.
Yeah, no,
thanks
you
for
got
being
it.
Such a pro.
I've always loved like that consumer electronic type of deal. Like in the 90s, it was car stereo, right? And then it was Walkmans, and then it was burning CDs. Did you ever burn CDs?
I had them burned for me. I had friends that would burn them for me. Yes.
Yeah. That whole deal. It's been fun. It's not as big of a deal now because you can get great audio from just a plug-in device that you send right there. But back in the day, it was always cool and kind of stuck with me.
I mean, it's about time with all the podcasting Broadus does.
Yes.
About time you got a real professional mic.
Hey, Dawson, absolutely. Right here. This is where I put the earplugs in, right? That area right there, that little.
Yeah, that's where you put your headphones in or into your computer. Okay. Either one of those would work.
Or you can just put your ear right up to that part. And it works just as
good. Yeah, just cup it a little bit.
Yeah, just cup it.
Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen named the offensive players of the week. Monday Night Heroes earning the awards for week 3. Josh Allen threw 4 touchdowns in the 47-10 blowout of the Jags that's put Brian's guy Doug Peterson in the hot seat. 13th time in his career he's earned that award.
All my coaches are struggling.
He's playing really good football right now.
He's getting the respect.
He's getting he was just voted the most overrated player in the league.
Yes,
by players. How about that?
That's chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's got an awesome offensive coordinator now. They're running a bunch of motion, and he's got a great rushing attack.
Absolutely. Maybe, you know, Buffalo, I think, was one of those teams that was predicted to have more of a down year, but maybe they're going to be even better. And if that's the case, then I think Josh Allen's going to get a ton of that credit. Jaden Daniels, the NFC prize for his breakout game against the Bengals. 21 of 23 for 254 and 2 tutties. 39 and a touchdown on the ground as well.
One of the best drops ever now.
What do you think? Is this him breaking out? Is this going to be I mean, 21 of 23 probably. He might not do that again for the rest of his career. But
no.
Are we seeing a guy, step in about to?
I you know me and my LSU love. I think him, Neighbors, those kids, they're all destined for greatness.
You still think Glenn Dorsey's going to be a good player?
I was thinking David LaFleur.
You think Mettenberger's still got a chance?
Mettenberger's still got a chance. Absolutely, he's got a chance.
Dwayne Bowe is one of your favorite receivers in football history.
Dwayne Bowe. Man, good for you.
Thank you.
Remembering some of them guys.
Brian Broaddus previewed the Giants defense for us, and I think you were left even more convinced that picking the Giants to win tomorrow night's the right call.
I think that the Dallas Cowboys...
Because they're awesome!
I think that... they got me there. I think that Dallas there's going to be a couple different problems for him on Dallas's offense. Now, we'll see the secondary, what happens with the Giants. But you're in a situation where can you block their nose man and can you block their edges? And if you can do that, then you can throw the ball on these cats. But if you don't handle the edges, you don't handle the inside guy, there's no place for Dak to step up, it could be a long day. It could be a long day. And the Giants offensively do things that kind of could give you some problems. They're going to run the football. They're going to try and run the football. That quarterback's going to pull it a couple of times and run it. He had a couple of runs. He had a 20-yard run that was called back last week. Had a 9-yard run that was called back. That wasn't even part of his stats.
We'll try to wake up from this two-week nightmare tomorrow. Tell me it's not true. The pregame will be underway at 4 o'clock and the kickoff shortly after 7. For Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control. For Eric Chiafalo as well. Zach Wolchuk will return tomorrow for your Cowboys game day broadcast responsibilities. And, of course, the great Brian Broaddus will be on tomorrow with the pre- and post-game show coverage along with us from 2 to 4 before that pregame. Till then, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.